You are listening to the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast, where you discover management insights and strategies for your successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this episode of the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast. And in this episode, I've got my returning buddy from the US, Nancy Crossan of Complete Customizable Dental Consulting. Welcome, Nancy. Thank you so much for joining me yet again.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I really do feel like you're my buddy at this point. It's so great. Thank you, Julie, for inviting me.
Oh, that's my pleasure.
On our last episode, what we did was we talked about my pet peeves. And what really I'm talking about is my pet peeves become or are the dentist pain points. And do they really have to be? So a couple of things that I talked about was I talked about unscheduled treatment. And so that's a really big pet peeve of mine, and not pre-appointing a recare patient. But it's not to fill the schedule, although that's very important. It's about patient retention, because patients are in a cycle of every 6 months or every 4 months. I spoke about accounts receivable. We talked about communication. I actually think we left off, Julie, with that we talked about the mindset and we talked about the blame game. And it's almost like a wall. And the minute you get into the blame game, actually, you really can't go anywhere. You've hit a wall. Unless you make a turn, you're right there at that wall. So those were the things, and there were more things that were pet peeves. And today, I'd like to continue and ponder a couple of thoughts I've been having. And I don't know anybody else better to ponder these thoughts with than you.
I love it. I love our conversations.
So the thought that I've been thinking about, and I'm not just today, is that first I want to make sure that everybody knows that I believe on-site consulting is the very best option. I'm offering something different, but that is the best option. Yes, we can do Zoom and we can have on-demand courses, but on-site is, to me, the first option. So when you go into a practice, Julie, when I go into a practice, for me, what I do is I like to let the dentist know that right away, I'm going to show you how to get the money to pay for my fees. Now, maybe that's a little unorthodox, but you know what? Dentists really like that. They say, well, let me know. How do I do that? Mm. And so some of the things that I'm looking at, obviously outstanding accounts receivable, unscheduled treatment. I'm looking at cash flow, and I'm looking at updated fees. Many dentists don't update their fees that often. And all of these different variety of ways is a way to bring in some money, for lack of a better word, to pay for my services. So now I'm going to segue a little bit into, so I go in there, I look at these things. Oh, and for us, I don't know if you have the same situation as far as insurance, but after a year, if there's an outstanding claim and it's over a year, you're not getting paid. And that could be about following up. So if I go into a practice and I'm asking the same people, let's assume we don't have a large turnover. I don't believe in having the dentist fire team members. I believe in training and putting them in the right seat on the bus. So how will that happen? This is my thinking. And I'm not sure that there's an exact answer, only that I'm pondering this thought. So I'm going into a practice. I'm making these suggestions. Here are the areas to improve. And we're asking the same people who got us into the situation. Maybe no accountability, too busy. There's a million reasons and a lot of blame why that person isn't performing this function. So how do we get them to do that? And so I go back and forth. Doesn't the dentist need to be on board? Because many dentists think I'm paying $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, and I have a consultant coming in and they're going to fix all my problems. Well, that isn't the case. It isn't the case because we're always dealing with people. And so we're dealing with the same people that yesterday before I came in was still employed, and now today I'm coming in. And if we're not careful, we certainly don't want the team members to resent us. But the truth is, you are uncovering things that could be done better.
For sure. So, and I think even in any part of our life, what does it take for us to change our habits of a day? And we're asking people to change their behaviors within the team environment that they're working in and do things that are different to what they've been doing. It's a challenge, isn't it?
It really is. And that's where the dentist comes in. The dentist needs to prepare their team. Often, you know, I honestly know team members that they didn't even know a consultant was coming in. But obviously, if a consultant's coming in and we're looking to improve, we're going to find areas that need to improve. So preparing a team for that, I know dentists who they say, and they're right. I don't know if it works forever, but they dangle the carrot. The carrot in this case is incentive, is money. Because why is somebody going to do something different? The truth is that a team can really outlast the consultant. Consultant comes in maybe once a month or comes in for that initial 2 or 3 day period, and they could outlast the consultant and slowly go back to the way they were doing it. And the dentist is in the treatment room as they ought to be. So what is going to be the catalyst to make team members want to take this journey with you? And again, that's the preparation. That's letting a team know. Look, do you want to come on board with me? Find out up front, because it's going to be some changes. And I welcome your input always. We want the team to have an input.
That's right. Because if they're involved in the journey and constructing the path, they're going to feel more excited, a greater sense of responsibility over it as well. But would you agree that you've made me think about what are all the things that make it a different journey with different practices, us going in there and doing a consulting job. And one of the things is certainly the level of self-awareness and responsibility and leadership of the owners of the practice and the people who are managers and owners of the practice. Because if they have already established within their team costs to making a mistake, expectations that are not realistic, non-provision of training when it's required and proper support, then we're faced with a group of team members that are afraid to do anything different.
That's right. Absolutely. And my word that I've been using lately, I would say over the last 6 months, is desire. It's a big word. You can use passion, but I think passion is overused. So desire. If a team member has the desire to support and help. Now, I'm not a mind reader. I'm a consultant who's just come in and maybe I've definitely sent out a survey and try to find out where people are at. But with desire, people will help you. So now we need to work on that. What would make a team member have the desire to want to be part of this change? And again, as you just said, bring them in. Incorporate team members into this process. Because, as I said, what changed from yesterday when, yes, we signed our agreement, and today when I went into the practice? All the same team members. So is there some prep to talk to the team members, to alert them to what's going on? And even if the dentist can't do that on their own, then they can do that with the consultant via email or whatever. There's some changes. We welcome your input. But if it's all about people, and it always is, it's about people and relationships. Yeah. A dentist ought to want to improve, and they do. I think it's a natural instinct for most of us to want to grow, learn, evolve, and improve. So if we have some team members who aren't there on that page, guess what? I bet you everybody else knows who they are. Yes. And so does the dentist. So why let the consultant find out the hard way?
Yeah.
Why not? Let's talk to people and get them on the right seat on the bus. You know that book, that yellow book, it's a bus. It's really very, very good because some people are excellent. They're just not in the right position.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Hey, we all have this fear inside of ourselves that will be revealed as incompetent or not good enough in some way. And so when someone is in the wrong seat,
possibly on the wrong bus, maybe on the right bus, but just in the wrong seat. They're not feeling totally comfortable, but there is a defensiveness about themselves and a self-protection going on as well. And so quite often these are the personality types that when we go into a dental team, we're feeling that level of resistance from one or more team members, and sometimes that's the space they're coming from. And so, again, it's about what environment are we going to be creating for them to help them understand that this is going to be a safe, fun journey. It's not going to be a journey where you are pointed out as being the problem.
And that's going to happen before the consultant comes in. This is a conversation the consultant has with the dentist. That's called an environment of trust. That you can make a mistake, that your ideas are welcome. Because think about the best things that happen, the best ideas that happen. It could be one thought from one person that we build on. Mm. It doesn't come out in the perfect form. And we have so many great things that have happened from mistakes. But if there's an environment of trust in the practice already, now the chances of success are much greater. And I know dentists who pay hygienists every time they take full mouth x-rays. And this happens to be a very great office. And they'll say, well, why do we have to get paid for what we're supposed to do? But you won't hear that from everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm going to do it anyway. I may as well get paid. But the carrot does work because you need to get people on board. But again, instead of going into an unknown, which I think many consultants do. And even when the consultant sends out a survey to each team member, they're very guarded. They're very guarded because, as you said before, you don't want the person who signs your paycheck to know that you're not capable in an area. But the truth is, nobody can do everything well.
And there's no ceiling to your learning either. We've always got the capacity to get better and better. And it keeps reminding me of the book by Daniel Pink, Drive, where he identifies the three main drivers of human beings: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And those three main drivers are perfect for team members to tap into these three main drivers, that we have now got a very clearly identified purpose that we're all moving towards that is bigger than any one of us individually, that Absolutely. We're now creating an environment. We've got a consultant coming on board so we can all get better at what we do, so we can tap into mastery. And That's we right. want everyone to be thinking for themselves. We don't want to be directing every thought and behavior of the people that we work with, so that's tapping into autonomy. And so if we utilize that as a bit of a structure of what kind of environment do I need to create? Well, one that really does honor each of those drivers for people, you may end up with a team that is highly motivated over and above any cash incentive that might be there.
Absolutely. The cash is always good. For me, based on profitability. Everybody gets a piece of it. And that's a whole nother session. Mm-hmm. But people who have the drive and who are motivated and who are in the right seat on the bus and who feel comfortable and safe in an environment are much more likely to take this improvement journey with the dentist. And a lot of that can be found out up front. I wouldn't even want to waste my consultant's time by finding out after the fact. They've got to put this time in to find out what the dentist already knows. It's, again, all about communication, all about relationships, and then we'll peel the onion even further. It's about the people on the team and how they were hired.
Yeah.
Who are we hiring?
Yeah.
Somebody to fill a seat or someone to help us be immensely successful in our goal and our dream, and in return, and this is a hard concept for business owners to get, in return, I'm going to help you with your dream. Because the chances of you have your dream was my dream and you're not a dentist are slim. Yeah. But people have dreams, people have hobbies, and we need to find that out and help them, because isn't that really a win-win?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's it, is how do we develop a win-win? If it's one side of it, if it's just the business that's winning all the time at the expense of any winning of the team members, it's not going to be a very happy place to work.
It really isn't. And just as you again said before, that the paycheck isn't going to suffice forever. Yeah. Forever.
And this is, and I suppose, is why when they do surveys about what maintains loyalty of staff members in particular businesses and companies, money is never at the top of the list.
Never. Mm. Never. I just read something in one of the journals, and appreciation's up there, but you know what else is up there? The opportunity to learn and grow. Mm. Now, that's a team member I want.
Oh, yeah. And that's inspiring to be on that journey. When you are the personality type, and I think it's most of us, I think just evolution indicates that it has to be most of us, that we do want to learn and grow, because that's our survival, really, isn't it?
Yep.
And so we do have an inner desire to learn and grow. And if we're delivered an environment where we are able to do that in a safe environment, then anything is possible. Because I've always said it's a 50-50 deal. A lot of employers are out there saying, you know, this person, this is their job description, they should be doing it, I've provided them training, they're supposed to be able to work like that. But what environment are you creating? It's a 50-50 deal. Yes, the employee has to bring their very best effort and attitude to everything they do, but you need, as an employer or as a manager, to provide the environment for them to be able to succeed.
Absolutely. And again, I go back to that word desire. There isn't anyone that I know, honestly, anyone that I know that if they have a desire about something, you don't have to ask them to get up at a certain time in the morning. Here's your pet. They have the desire. They want to learn. So that is something that needs to be discovered right away. Is there a desire? I went to the eye doctor last week, and he said something that was really, it made an impact on me. So we were talking about cataracts. I didn't have to have any cataract surgery, and my eyes are great. And that's nice to hear, since I've been wearing glasses since I'm 10 years old. But eyes were great. Everything was great. And then he said, but if you did, and then he told me about his expertise about implants. He said, and he didn't realize he's preaching to the choir. He said, because what the insurance company wants to do is they want to give you, pay the bare minimum, the bare minimum. So take that sentence. Do your employees want to do the bare minimum to get a paycheck? Do I want to do the bare minimum to be an excellent chef? Of course I don't. Mm-hmm. When there's desire, we don't even have to think about bare minimum, because we're going to be out there exuberant. We're excited. We want to learn. We want to grow. So again, we're back to people. I don't think we can ever get off of people, but those, your team members will help you succeed. So what will you do in return? Now, this is not a cash exchange. This is a human exchange. I'm helping you reach your desired goal. But do we find out what team members want? And I agree with you. Team members would probably hesitate to say, well, what I really, really wanted to do, and talk about a hobby or another career while they're getting paid by somebody else. But if I get, I've always said from when I started in this business, I said, if you get 2 great years out of a team member, if they give you everything they've got for 2 years, man, you did well.
Yeah.
You did well. So we think womb to tomb, but that's not, you know, that's not the case anymore. So if I can get 2 years from an excited, enthusiastic team member who helps catapult me to my next level, I'm thrilled. And then my job as the employer is to make sure that I can replace that person and replace them well. So you have to really be careful. Mm-hmm. Pay for a good person. Pay for somebody who's going to help you and who's going to influence other team members. And they're going to be so excited, because it's contagious, isn't it?
Oh, it is contagious. Absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. And the perspective of, you know, what excites team members, you triggered a memory. I was reading something by a recruitment person here in Melbourne who I've interviewed on this program in the past, and he said in this interview that when he first started working at a particular company, that boss would ask every new employee, What do you love doing? What are your hobbies? What do you love doing? What is a nice treat that you give yourself every now and again? For somebody, it was, I love going to the movies. I love doing gold class. That's a very luxurious way of going to the movies here in Australia. And Bobby had said, I love dark chocolate. I absolutely love dark chocolate. That's my treat. Whenever Bobby did go above and beyond, the boss would come and just give him a block of dark chocolate and say, thank you. He'd go to the other person and say, here's a movie ticket. Thank you. And it's just incredible, isn't it? Because we're not all one size fits all. Not everyone's going to love the movies. Not everyone's going to love dark chocolate. But if you endeavour to find out what that little way to treat that individual person, how glorious is that? The dark chocolate costs nothing, but the thought is immense.
Well, what I would do is find out from team members if they could wave their magic wand, or if they, instead of a bonus, what was something that they wanted? Just what do you love? What do you want? And one team member, she was really fabulous. She was the tops. She said back then, I think she wanted an iPod. And guess what? That's what came to her. She had forgotten because I did these surveys and I kept them. And I didn't ask for one thing. I asked for a bunch of things. You know, what do you love? What do you like? What do you like to do? And then that's what they'd get. So that's a segue. I was going to talk about this into the platinum rule. We always talk about the golden rule. Do unto others, you know. But the platinum rule is different. The platinum rule is that I find out what Julie wants, not what I want to give you. So do unto others as I would do unto myself. So I'm still thinking about myself, aren't I? What I would like, and then I'm going to pass that on to you. It's a little bit more, it takes a little bit more effort to find out what is Julie like? What does Julie want? Not what I want to give her. And that's how I want patients treated, but it's going to take an intake form that says something different. Because we're trying to find out what people want. And in case of the intake form, I'd like to find out how a patient wants to be told what their treatment is. Do they just want to be told, just tell me what it is, give me the bottom line, or do I like pictures? Do I like this? Do I want to be sent home a video with this? So I am finding out from people what it is they want and how they want to be treated. And so that's exactly what you said, that find out this person liked dark chocolate, the other one liked the movies, a movie theater ticket. And the dentist listened, remembered, probably had a list. I always had a list.
Yeah.
And that meant more than a paycheck. Don't get me wrong. The incentive, the bonus paycheck is great. But that's something different. Mm-hmm. And that's saying, I noticed that you went over and above. I appreciate you and want to give you what you want.
Yeah. I love it. It's customizable. That's your whole business. It's customizable team management, customizable patient engagement.
Exactly. Because our world that we live in, we have very savvy consumers. They want customization.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no reason not to give it to them.
And you know what? I don't think they're confused about what they want. I think we've all had enough excellent experiences and terrible experiences that we actually are quite consciously aware of what we deem as good customer service.
Absolutely. And I believe that we put so much time into customer service. I don't know if there's enough training, but certainly dentists, team members, we're thinking about customer service. And because it's so difficult for people to change, people don't want to change. I don't want to change my eye doctor. I don't want to change. I don't want to change. So for someone to change who's leaving you, who isn't leaving the geographic area, something happened. And it's our job to find out. So you have to do something, in my mind, that's pretty wrong. Yeah. They have to be offended. Something has to happen because people actually don't want to change their dentist, their doctor, their hairdresser. I don't know about you, but I don't want to.
Yeah. You know, that's a really great insight that, it does take a lot of energy to go out and find out, who else to go to and ask a few friends and family, go online, do a search, look at all the Google reviews. That takes energy and time, and we don't like to change. And so if anyone does change because of the way they've been treated or the experience that they've had at your practice, then that is crucial information to try to figure out what happened. But also, is there going to be a communication to try to entice them back in again too? That's a lovely insight and a lovely area as a bit of a project to work on as a practice.
It truly is, because I feel like that we know that. We innately know that. But to actually consider that and use that and say, people don't want to change. People really don't want to change. I'm going to use that to my benefit, for lack of a better word. I'm going to make sure that my patients, whether it be one or two sentences, whatever it is I have to do as the business owner, let's say, I'm not talking about my team members, to ensure that I've made a connection with my patients. Doesn't have to be 7 or 8 minutes for a patient. It can be, you know, hey, Mrs. Smith, you know, so great to see you. I was thinking about your daughter, blah, blah, blah. And then you're moving on. You're not standing there because that could take a lot of time, especially if you see, if there are 100 patients that come in and out of your office throughout the day. But people don't want to change, and I don't think that we use this in this industry to our benefit. We keep thinking that new patient treadmill, they're out there, but they're right there. Just take care of what you have. Don't make people leave.
Yeah.
If they leave, that's a call. Unless they're leaving your practice, I've got a protocol for that, because if a patient is leaving, and they're not leaving because they're geographically moving, is there something we could have done better? And someone who, I'll know the patient, could we have done something better? We're always looking to improve. Blah, blah. And you know what? If you've built up a relationship with the patient, they'll tell you.
Mm. And if you've extended that, I'm just putting myself in a patient position. If it was my optometrist that said that thing to me, I'd be inclined to stay. If it was such a thoughtful exchange, such a desire to improve, such a desire to make me happy, and an acknowledgement that they didn't make me happy, there's every chance that I'm actually going to hang around because of that conversation.
Absolutely. Because if the dentist is saying, or the practice administrator, whoever that key person is, saying, look, we're going to make it right.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would ask a patient, not that I didn't have some criteria, you know, what do you think is right here? Do you know people are reasonable? There's very few unreasonable people who would say, I shouldn't pay the bill at all if it was a problem with the bill. They would never say that. And I will listen to people. What did you have in mind? How can we make it right? And most people are reasonable. The unreasonable people, look, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's not the majority.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, very good. Very good.
So. Just to finish my thinking about what I'm talking about as far as making sure that the dentist is profitable, that's part of my leadership piece. My leadership piece is, as the owner, as the business leader, that it's your responsibility to make sure your business is viable.
Yeah.
So I'll point out the areas where we can bring in some income, and then I have a cash flow protocol. And this cash flow protocol, I think we can spend some time with that and end it with this cash flow protocol. This cash flow protocol is about every touch point where the dentist's money is involved. And I'm going to pull this up. Well, actually, this is an audio, but I'm going to pull it up from me just to make sure that that I'm correctly giving you my process for this. And I think that this is something that your viewers can definitely listen to and use.
Beautiful.
So I'm actually reading this first sentence because exactly what I just said to you, cash flow is included in the leadership section because as the leader, it's your responsibility to make sure your business is healthy and profitable. And one way to do that is by implementing a comprehensive cash flow system and monitoring it for success. Implementing a system is great. I love the tools of the trade, but accountability is everything, measuring it. So the first thing I'm looking at, is every touch point. Usually the first place a new patient is looking is on your website.
Yeah.
And that is a great place to be transparent, to share your financial policy, to say whether you do or don't participate with a certain insurance company, to provide detailed information about membership benefit plans if you offer them, and to have a secure patient portal, which allows the patient to pay through your HIPAA compliance website. And I don't see a lot of dentists who do this, have a live chat. If someone's actually visiting your website, I use live chat. Do you use live chat?
I do, all the time.
Yeah. Mm. Right. If I want to know something, a dimension of a piece of furniture or a piece of clothing that I'm looking at, I really do use live chat. And I think it's such a missed opportunity not to have live chat. Many team members complain about it. They say, we're busy enough. The phones are ringing. Patients are coming through. We don't have time for live chat. So I say, segment it. Say every hour, a different person is looking. Or, you know, we've got these bots that the automatic answers, that we can have automatic answers to a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. So for you to actually have to get on, they've already maybe asked two or three questions, and that's a good thing. That means they're interested.
But also to look at the chat as a phone call coming in. You're not going to say, I don't have time to answer that phone call. It's just coming through a different media channel, communication channel.
Exactly right. And with artificial intelligence, I'm waiting for this, Julie. I'm waiting for artificial intelligence to actually answer the phone. And what they do is they have, as I was saying, there's questions, there's answers, and then it's so intelligent, it knows when they have to take you to a new level. Now you need to speak to a human being. Yeah. But many of the questions can be answered easily. Yeah. So that when a live person is on the phone, they're actually utilized for what they can do. They don't need to give directions and say the office hour, even though that's on the website. A lot of times people call with questions that can be answered. So I say the first place, I don't say, I know the first place that people are being introduced to you as a new patient is your website.
Yeah.
But for existing patients, having a portal and making it easy to do business with you and being able to pay their bill at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is, to some dentists want to be able to schedule and cancel online. I mean, I'm not so thrilled about that because I don't want to wake up that next morning, come in on Monday morning and half of my day is blown. But it's still, these are considerations, and this is on a case-by-case basis, what a dentist decides to do. The website is that first place, and that initial phone conversation. So the team member has to have excellent verbal skills and the ability to bond with the patient.
Yeah,
you know, and to have a patient feel comfortable with you right away. And then the first on your future appointments, financial discussions need to be private.
Yes.
Verbally present fees with a detailed financial option and save the signed agreement. Save it in your financial options section. Remember that if we're not skilled in this area, this is all about the dentist's money. Now, you know what? So if we cannot get a patient who's calling up for an appointment, if we don't even ask them, can we schedule an appointment? Then that's a lost opportunity and, of course, a lost profit. I'm looking at my protocol here. Mm-hmm. So these financial discussions are imperative because in that decline treatment, the unscheduled treatment, it's proven here in the United States that about 70% of the unaccepted treatment, the reason it falls apart is in the financial presentation discussion.
That's so interesting. And, you know, for the listeners out there in Australia that aren't exposed to what it's like over in America, we are very lucky from the perspective of the insurance companies. Yes, there's preferred provider and it's restricting your fee schedules, but we are not having to wait. We get paid straight away from the health funds. We're not having to wait for these funds to come through. If they all come through, is it right from what I've heard that quite often you'll put, you know, your claims to a particular health fund, 100% of those, maybe only 70% actually ever get paid, and the rest of the 30% are disputed. So not only do you get the payments late, but sometimes you don't get them at all.
Well, there are disputed claims, and a lot of times there's a reason for it. Something's left out. Mm. So that's incompetency. Mm-hmm. As far as how we're filing. So if a crown is done and you know an insurance company wants to know whether the reason for it and how many years old, because that's going to be the criteria, how they pay. And we don't have that filled in. That's on us, isn't it? So they have to ask the question. Everybody wants to blame everything on the insurance company. That's fine. Let's blame them. But we do have to take responsibility for the things that we're supposed to do, that we need to do. So, yes, I also believe that they're intentionally delayed because the insurance company gets to keep their money. But now you need to have somebody diligent because I'm sure we're going to get to this because it's in the cash flow protocol, diligent about that. We can't just let it go. Mm. We have to follow up right away because it is your money and they will pay. And maybe some companies and the people who are working these insurance claims, the insurance claim process, they know what insurance companies want. Give it to them. Give it to them. On our claims, we have an area that we can actually put the reason for recurrent decay, over 5 years old, over 10 years old. Give that to the insurance company so we get paid.
Yeah.
And so most people who are in this field for a long time, your insurance experts, they know what to do. But again, we live in a world with tremendous turnover. Yeah. So is the onboarding and the training super important? Again, this is the dentist money, which the dentist has coming to them.
Yeah.
On hold.
Yeah.
3 months, 6 months in our country, if the claim has not been decided upon in 1 year, if it's 1 year and a week, you're not getting paid for it. So who would let that happen? So these are diligent people at your front desk, team members who are following up on that. That's just a report. What insurance was sent, what's outstanding.
Yeah.
Again, that's a cash touch point.
Yeah,
for sure.
And bringing it back to your point as well, there are so many different payment options for the patient out-of-pocket portion. It is worthwhile really selecting payment options that are really going to make sure that they cover all of the pay or majority of the patients and their financial challenges. Some people may need to borrow up to $20,000 from an institution, an external financial institution. Others would like to pay their emergency extraction off over four payments. And so that's a different type of payment option. And then others that could be very trusted patients that you could actually arrange an in-house arrangement with them.
Absolutely. From your patients who have proven themselves, they're loyal, they pay all the time. And actually, you know, we're just going ahead of ourselves because you're there. This is your business. This is your field. But yes, okay, as far as insurance, I mean, I've got the detail, verify every patient, make sure what their benefit allotment is before treatment. So let's not have surprises and patients, not just patients. I did payroll for many, many years. People don't want to be surprised with their money. You've got to put it right out there. It has to be very transparent, very transparent. So let's get to the bottom of it. Let's people like pre-estimates. I don't happen to like pre-estimates. I feel it's another delay tactic. But if that's what a patient wants to move forward, just do it. So handle that insurance piece and have experts on staff. Now, how do you get experts? You either hire someone who is an expert or, again, we have this revolving door. You make sure you provide the tools and provide the training for someone who's very interested. Again, the desire, like I have the desire to want to make sure that my boss gets paid every penny due them.
Yep.
I would say, is it okay? I would say to a team member, well, is it okay if you don't get paid? Or if you lend somebody money, would it be okay to say, oh yeah, you know, whenever, or you never follow up? And of course, it's not treat your employer the way you would treat yourself,
yeah,
for sure. So that's our insurance piece and e-claims for us. They're filed easily, and we are paid right away. And we can have the option, which I think a lot of dentists do at this point, to have the payment directly go into the checking account, to the business checking account. Now we're not waiting at all.
Yeah.
So again, that's the cash that belongs to the dentist, and that has to get handled. There's no reason for this to be willy-nilly. But again, if someone comes into your practice, a team member, and they don't have protocols to follow, and there it's trial by fire, anything can happen. I wouldn't, if I'm the owner, I would not have that. That is a for sure.
Yeah.
And now moving into, which we've already talked about, the financial presentation and third-party financial options. And yes, do we have a trusted patient that, yes, we know they've paid all the time? And then have it written down. So again, case-by-case basis. But doesn't a team member have to have some criteria? If they've been a patient for two years and they've always paid their bill, then we can extend 6 months. If not, if it's a new patient, we only want to extend this, or we may not want to extend. But don't we need to provide that to team members so they know what to do?
Oh, for sure.
Because if we don't tell them what we want, how will they know? They're going to do what they've always done, and that may not be what the dentist wants. Again, here we're back to communication. And then to collect the copay at the time of treatment, there is not a reason in the world why this shouldn't happen. Absolutely, absolutely needs to happen. That's the dentist. That is the dentist's profit. That's the dentist's money that's not being collected. So these are audits that need to happen. And these are what consultants do when they come in. They've got to find out, well, gee, you know, this is a team member up front who consistently lets a patient go without collecting a copay.
Mm.
And that's difficult. That's challenging because now you're looking at where it's out. And so how do we get that patient on board? Or do we just make a change and switch the roles a little bit up front? There's some people who love to collect money. And then there's some people who can't even look the patient in the eyes while asking for it. We've got to find out who that is. We can't just put anyone in any position.
Yeah.
And then again, create a system to, you've got to have a system to track the extended payments. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Are we being successful in our endeavors?
You can have a credit card on file, but all of a sudden after month 7, it's rejected. Do we follow up? Do we even know? Is there an alert? Is there a red flag? There needs to be.
Yeah.
And statements. Ideally, we really don't want to send statements, but there needs to be a process for sending statements. And I won't go through that, but there needs to be a process. And someone needs to follow up. And the accounts receivable follow up, I feel, and anyone I've ever spoken to feels that accounts receivable is the worst job in the practice, asking people for money after you haven't seen them in a year or 2 years. And do we go to small claims court? Do we send them to collection? And because it's so uncomfortable, the patient who owes the money is uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
Because we're hedging, we're not saying what we really need to say, or our tone of voice isn't right. That's training.
Yeah.
And also putting someone who doesn't mind doing that.
Yeah. And there's a charming way of asking for money, and then there's a very rude way of asking for money.
And to have a patient feel like a criminal because they haven't paid their bill, you know, or to lose a patient, and maybe they haven't been in a while because they're embarrassed. I don't know what their circumstances are, but they'll be sure to tell a lot of people if they're mistreated.
Yeah.
So that's training, isn't it?
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah.
If you don't have the right person doing this, and again, there are people who are very, very good at it. I was very good at this. I've had patients tell me that the only reason they paid was because of me, because I didn't treat them, because I didn't look down on them. And I didn't.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And they knew it. It came out in my voice.
And so, the answer again, to most things, you know, I'm picturing that, you know, a consultant's job is to come in and, you know, fix up all the loose threads, identify and fix up all the loose threads, you know, of a jumper that's going to just fall apart if you just let it keep going badly. But the answer to most challenges, I'm trying to think if there's any challenge that this isn't the answer to, is team training and support.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Knowing, and also, it is the owner's responsibility to let team members know how you want your patients to be treated.
Yeah.
Really is.
Mm.
And then every time we do anything, I mean, Linda says this to me, I say it to her, you know what? Make it better. I'm open. Mm. I don't have all the answers all the time. I want the feedback. We were just speaking to Linda Miles yesterday, and she was saying how she developed her courses in the beginning. She had about 3 courses, okay? And then she developed her courses based on the attendees' feedback, what was important to them.
Mm.
And now you're giving people exactly what they want, not what you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, what's missing in their life that they need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, there needs to be a process for implementing the unscheduled treatment protocol.
Mm.
It's right there in our charts. Patients who said no, patients who declined. There's a process. Of course, I have it, but I'm certainly not going to go into it. I'm simply saying all the areas where the dentist income can be affected and is affected.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you have this. We have it here in the United States. We have a calendar year max for insurance. So come October, the end of September, all the patients who have insurance, who have benefits left, and who need treatment, that needs to go out. It's a simple, simple thing. And with automation, we can get the list of those patients instantly.
That's
right. And we have a template for that letter or that email or that text, however we want to send it. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, you know, there's absolutely no reason for that not to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There just really, really isn't. They have these HSA funds that need to be a use it or a lose it.
Yeah, that's so it's the case here for sure.
Okay, and is that a calendar year, basically, or whatever?
Most of them calendar year. There's a couple that are financial year, but most of them calendar year, yes.
So is that what you do there? You have a template?
Well, we certainly encourage it, encourage it twice a year. Why not just tell everybody who has a health insurance twice a year, if you don't use all of your funds, you lose the chance to access them? Because that's a very good awareness for us all who have health insurance. So we are utilizing the funds that we're paying so highly for. These premiums keep spiraling up and up and up and up. At the very least, we should be doing what we can to get the full benefit from those funds.
Absolutely. And you know what? There's a lot of people who actually need a reminder. They forget they even have it.
Yeah.
They may have $400 in there. They never thought about it, you know, whatever. It didn't even take $10 out of their paycheck, and they don't even know they have it. Mm. So, yeah, we do need to help patients. We want to say that people are responsible for themselves, but that's our expertise. That's our area of expertise. I appreciate when it's time for an oil change that I get notification.
Yeah, that's it, because life gets busy. I mean, look at us. It's already the 30th of November that we're recording this on, and none of us can believe it. Christmas is around the corner.
I can't even believe it. I can't think about it, but it is what it is. And then also negotiating credit card processing fees. And that can be done annually. It's very competitive now, very competitive. And I remember an office, this was a while ago, because everyone's kind of on this now, but I know that I saved an office about $11,000 or $12,000. So all they needed to do was just switch to a lower rate. So that's a lot of money. I don't know, in my book, $1,000 a month that doesn't have to be paid.
Yeah.
That's important to me.
Yeah.
And reevaluate the fees annually. Some offices like to change their fees every other year. But then there's some offices that I go into and they haven't even looked at their fees for 5 years. And so
their
not
rent
even,
or their mortgages, the cost of supplies, that's all gone up. The laboratory fees, everything's gone up.
Exactly. And then how about a dental supply inventory control process?
Nice.
One thing that bothers me, I know we're much better at this, at least the offices that I've dealt with, but many years ago, people order, they get a good deal. And so like you buy a lot of toilet paper for your house or paper towels or whatever, but they buy things that have an expiration date. So now you have an expiration date, you got a good deal, but was it really a good deal because it's expired?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are great inventory control systems that these big supply houses offer for free. Mm-hmm. You have a barcode. You simply take that little bar gun and they know exactly what you need, when you need it. You don't order too much, because isn't that just throwing money down the drain?
And indeed, just this past week, myself and my colleague Amina, we had an open to the public live session. We've had various guest speakers come in. One of them was by a company called Invident, and they've got a stock management and ordering system. And Luca posed that question: how many out there are throwing out expired goods that cost you hundreds of dollars to purchase?
Oh,
everyone's got their hand up. It's just heartbreaking. He had a photo of someone throwing out a whole box of something or other. And it's heartbreaking as the owner who actually had to work hard to earn the money to pay for that. And, we all work hard to make sure the practice is viable. And just to start literally throwing cash down into the bin, awful.
Oh, makes me crazy. And I think about, would I do that in my own home? I wouldn't, and neither would most people. They wouldn't do it in their own home. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of disrespectful.
Yeah.
So did you really get a deal when you have to throw out half of the supply because there's an expiration date?
Yeah, is it a deal when you can buy 10 liters of milk on Monday, but you know you're only ever going to use one for the week?
No.
That's not a deal.
Exactly. These are all things, though, in this cash protocol that I have, that I want the dentist or their champion, their business administrator, whoever it is, to take a look at and to monitor.
Great.
Because, again, any one of these things that I'm talking about is just wasting money, throwing it down the drain. It's and there's no reason for it. It's just that we have busy days, we live our lives, and no one really, there's no tracking on this. There's no accountability. And these are simple things, simple things. And I don't know, as far as payroll on our end, that we are obligated legally to pay overtime, okay, for hourly salaries.
Yeah.
So if you're an hourly person and you work over 40 hours, now, if you haven't scheduled correctly or you don't have enough help, let's say, and you're paying overtime, that has to be monitored. For me, it has to be approved. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. It just has to be approved. It's a big number.
Yeah,
it's a big number. And these are simple things to do, but add everything up that I'm talking about, and it amounts to a lot.
That's right.
Of hard-earned money. Hard-earned money with absolutely no reason. And again, I'll repeat, this is in the cash flow to utilize an analytics, a statistical tracking program. I feel that's very important. I don't know how you're going to know where you're at unless you track it and measure it.
Especially when you're talking about things like incomplete treatment that isn't being scheduled in, or, you know, patient retention's falling away. These are traditionally difficult things, not so much incomplete treatment, but certainly patient retention, difficult to track. Takes energy, time, expertise to be able to know where and how to track that. But I know that you're a big fan of Dentometrics. We've got some new products that are coming in on the market in Australia all the time now that are giving you a dashboard of all of these key metrics within your practice. So now you can see it in a flash. You can see these figures every day and become very aware of what's an acceptable figure for your practice and when action starts needing to be taken. But this is giving us an insight into our businesses, into our dental practices that in the past, we've had the access to, but it's taken much more effort to find it. So it gets dropped and left behind.
And even if we had access, we could still never do what these analytics companies are doing because they use artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. So not only do they say, for instance, that 100 patients weren't rescheduled, so patient retention, let's say in this time period, now you click on those 100 patients and you see who they are. Now, you know how much time it would take for anyone at the front desk or anybody who's working on that project to find that and the reports? It's all right there. It's gotten to a point where there's absolutely really no excuse not to be able to follow up. There isn't any because it's there. We have the information, and that's up to the dentist again to supply that. But the fees for these analytic programs, the monthly fees, can be astronomical in some cases. I don't happen to use, I use great company, and they're not astronomical. So there is a way to find, you talk to your peers and find out how you can get this information. And a lot of the companies, like Rick, will do a profit leak summary. So they're going to do a full report, and you'll see what you can get. And it's so amazing that you actually feel like, oh, I can't even live with it. I can't live without that. For me, I can't consult without that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be guessing and spending 4 hours on something that is available to me in minutes. I'm just not going to do it. So it's really super important to use analytics. And then as something as simple, Julie, this is so simple, to create a budget. I don't think everybody budgets. Yeah. Create a budget, and here's the key, and stick to it.
Yeah.
So let's say you're a practice and you take your team away on a retreat and you have a large team, and let's say you know it's going to cost minimum of $50,000. So every pay period, this fund gets funded so that when you're looking at the actual retreat, you don't have to come up with $50,000 from your cash flow.
Yeah.
So, and that's just my extreme version of it, you know, that this is, but create a budget and stick to it. This way you're not just buying things willy-nilly. When dentists go to these shows, there's so much great stuff to have. There really is. And if I was the dentist, I'd want most of it too. But if you're not really going to use it, is that in my budget? I'm making up a number. I've allowed $25,000, other than if it's a CEREC or some big item, I've allowed $25 for new products in my practice. And then stick to it. And there's plenty of people that I've spoken to, and it can be the last quarter of the year, and they say, we've used our budget. And I think, I love that. Mm. I love that. So can we look at it in January? And we do. Mm. And that's smart.
Yeah.
If you know you want a consultant and you know it's going to be, I don't know what it is in Australia, but let's say it's $50,000 here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if it's a large practice, it could be $50,000, $75,000, and they won't take you unless it's for 2 years. It's a large practice. So you know you want that, but you don't have the money and you can't justify it. And as one dentist said to me, the bottom line is, how will I justify that? Because who will I actually pass this along to but my patients?
Yeah.
And that was interesting. So put a fund aside. It can take you 18 months, whatever it is, to save up, maybe not all of it, some of it, and then have the consultant come in.
Nice. Nice.
Or in my case, I say, get the complete customizable program. It's a consulting program for $19.95, and you've got the program, and you can still get the consultant. You may very well, when you find out what it's really going to take to move you to your next level or next two or three levels, but now you've put some money aside, but you're already working on it.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at a program.
And I'm really pleased that you've brought up the complete customizable dental consulting, because one of the challenges for dental practices, they may say, we have the need for a consultant to come in. We have the need to systematize everything, get some team training, getting systems for onboarding, all the things to, you know, with your cash flow grid to make sure that we're looking at all these areas. Maybe we have got a way of tracking all of our metrics in a very elegant way, but then what do we do with the information? So they've got the need there, but they feel like they don't have the time or the money to bring in a consultant. And complete customizable dental consulting is a wonderful solution around that.
It truly is, because as I say, if you do nothing, if you take the program, first you need to do the discovery. You got to know where you're at. So the dentist needs to know where they're at, and they need to bring the team on board. But then if this is done properly, you take these other sections, front desk team, members, admin, and they work on it. And then you take clinical hygiene, they work on it. The assistants, they work on it. It can be done, and it doesn't have to be done quickly, but your pain point areas, unscheduled treatment is a pain point to me. You've put a lot of time, gone to school, you're still paying off dental loans, and you know the patient wanted to do it. So they said, no, we don't even follow up. We don't even find out why.
Yeah.
What is that saying to the patient? Maybe I really didn't need it.
Yeah.
So I just think that there are other options, and rather than to do nothing, as what I started to say about dental PPOs, rather than to do nothing, we can train our people.
Yeah.
We can train our people in a different way. There are options. We don't have to hit a wall and just, we don't have to stagnate.
Mm. Mm.
And it's shown that people don't want to stagnate.
Correct. Correct. And it's a very exciting concept for me to think of a practice that takes on complete customizable dental consulting, something that's very, very affordable, very, very impactful, and you are delegating sections of it to each of the areas within your practice. And the team as a whole, individually and as a whole, they are improving, learning new things, becoming masters in these new things. The standard of intelligence that practice is operating from is ever increasing, and you watch how your turnover, team harmony, patient experience expands, all in the positive. It's quite an extraordinary outcome, isn't it?
It truly is. And the thing here is that because there's each department in your practice is working on what's pertinent to them, but they can feel each other.
Yeah.
They know, because it takes time now. It takes time and some energy. So everybody's doing it. Everybody's got a piece of this with the final approval being the dentist, of course, but we're working on a goal together. And in this program, in my program, we set it up, how many hours to set aside, how to run these meetings and what to do. So I don't just leave somebody to just figure it all out. It's all written out. Now, because it's customizable, you have to do it. You have to do it in a way that works best for you. But this is a consulting program, so we know this works.
Nice. Nice.
So that's, and the last piece of this cash flow was actually written by Rick, who was the president of the Dental CPAs. And so I'm not going to take credit for this one last piece. It's his. So he's saying to create a net operating cash flow report to compare your income received to your major overhead items. And such a report is not the same as your profit and loss statement. Instead, where your P&L shows accounting profits for a tax return, that does not show where all of your cash went. For instance, the P&L does not mention your loan payments, and a good analytics program includes this feature. So that's next level. Because a dentist isn't doing this on their own. They're having their accountant do this, but it certainly is absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. So again, these programs that we have access to, we couldn't do it on our own. There's no way. And I like dental CPAs because they specialize. They specialize in that. So this program, this cash flow, this net operating process, this profit and loss is really for, it's really for the dentist, okay, to share with the team so that they can help, and then for the accountant to help the dentist see where your money has gone.
Wonderful. So crucial. That's, you know, without it, we can't go on. Viability's out the window.
Yeah, well, it's a shame to feel like one of my questions that I ponder is, I think, dentist, what's really bothering you? You know, what's really bothering you? What is your self-talk? What are you saying every day to yourself that nobody knows about? Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. For instance, the dentist may be walking around and saying that they can't afford this, they can't pay their bills. They're not sharing this with the team, and nor should they. But what is your self-talk? What are you saying? Are you saying to yourself, boy, I have two people at the front desk. I'm just tolerating them. Well, why should the dentist who's paying the salary tolerate? Right now, it's a tough market. So I'm speaking in much broader terms than right now, what we're in this hiring shortage. But what is the self-talk? And listen to that. And that's something that only the dentist, that's a conversation that I'll have with dentists. Mm. What are you saying to yourself? Mm. Is it basically positive?
Yeah.
Is it not? And when it's not, well, what can we do about it?
Yeah.
And I think that's the step that they missed. What can we do about that? And this is where consultants can certainly help out enormously.
That's right. Because sometimes you get into a situation, not just a dentist, all of us, we get into a situation and really we self-sabotage. We're our own worst enemies. Yeah. We don't know how to get out of it and we might be embarrassed to share it. I don't know what the scenario is. I do know that there's a lot of self-talk. And so an awareness of what that self-talk is, I actually think that that's the conversation that lets us know what we need.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we're not sharing with anybody, but we're saying it. Yeah. We're saying it to ourselves. Joe, I work so many hours. I'm tired every night. Even when it's time to play, I just don't have the energy. I'm lethargic. And that's what someone's, and he's not telling, or she's not telling her team. Isn't that important? Imperative to me. I'm not enjoying my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the thoughts that I've got in my brain, I'm not enjoying my life.
That's right.
Yeah.
The self-talk.
Yeah. And we just get too used to it. And the problem is that when we remain in that stuck space, we're developing new and different habits of thought, but also action, but of thought as well. And then if we sit there for years, much harder to break ourselves out of that different mindset.
So difficult. So we talk about self-awareness, and that's a big topic, you know, and I've read It's So Great. I don't know if here in this country, when you build a huge mansion or whatever, we call them like McMansions. And so now we have this term for mindfulness, you know, yoga and meditation and breathing or whatever. And now it's called McMindfulness because it's become such a big industry. Okay. It truly has. However, I do want to talk about self-awareness in the smallest sense of just listening to your self-talk, because that is your guidance. That's your guidance for what it is you need. Yes. And nobody has to know that you're walking around really feeling dissatisfied. Let's say you're not. But once you know that, then maybe there's some action to take. Maybe that's when you call the expert. You join a mastermind. You do something to help yourself, because it's we look at a big picture, but what really, really makes our lives are moments. 100 moments, 1,000 moments. The big picture is great, but the richness and the fullness of our life is in moments. And those moments are also self-talk. The moments of self-talk that I'm saying, I'm not really happy with this. Maybe it's time for a therapist. I don't know. I think a lot of consultants act as therapists because they have to.
Yes.
But self-awareness, what's that self-talk? And then, how long am I willing to say the same thing? Pretty much to your point. How long? Because if it's a habit, it's only going to get worse. Mm. Only going
to
get worse.
Because we adapt too quickly. And so if we were asked today, what level of unhappiness would you tolerate in your life? You may have a picture of what that looks like. But years down the track, as you're going kind of declining down into that unhappiness, all of a sudden your tolerance and you've adapted to it all. And so now what you're accepting in your world is beyond that, that when you're in your happier state of mind that you would have ever have tolerated.
You know, you made me think about the patient intake form, and it actually makes me laugh, okay, because it's so crazy, but we all own a piece of this. So we'll do a medical history and lots of interesting stuff on this, on the intake form, so that when the dentist actually meets the patient, they know a lot. They know how they feel about their smile, how they like to learn, how they want to be spoken to. But one of the things as far as medical history is, so they give their medical history, blood pressure, what medications are you taking? And then the question at the end, and there's a lot of medical questions, is how healthy do you think you are? And let's say it's on a scale of 1 to 10. And such a disconnect. So a patient just said they're on 5 medications, they have high blood pressure, they're overweight, and then they'll say they're a 9. Wow.
That's so interesting.
But now you know where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, now you know where you're at. But otherwise, you know how much time it would take me, if I'm the dentist, how much time would it take me to discover all of that? Having a really good intake form, which I do, I give it away as a freebie, and having a really good intake form is important so that I can gain the knowledge and information that it would take me quite some time to find out. Mm. And now I can start knowing. But my point here was that the disconnect between where you think you are and where you actually are is huge, and now the dentist knows what they're dealing with.
Gosh, that's a really good question. It's a lovely example of that disconnect as well. That's right. Our own identity, our own beliefs versus actual reality. We've got never the two shall meet. Gosh, it's been such an interesting discussion as always, Nancy. Thank you so very much. For people who would like to get some more information around the complete customizable dental consulting package, can you speak to where they should go, what their best next step is?
Yes, they can visit the website, www.completecustomizableconsulting.com. And when they go to the website, there's a pop-up. So they can, if they want that intake form that I'm talking about, that's an immediate pop-up. But right. Then I have my giveaways too, which you and I can talk about. I'm happy to share that with you. And on that, on my website, there's also a phone number. There's an email address. It would be Nancy@completecustomizableconsulting.com. And so that's how you can, also Facebook. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram.
Great.
So, yes, if anybody wants any additional information, and also I have a program called the White Label Program, which I actually sell the consulting program to people who have a desire to become consultants. But where do they start? They've been in the field for a long time. So
there's a lot of leads. And I think from some of the things that I read on Facebook groups, I think there's a growing number of very talented receptionists and practice managers who would be very interested in going down the path of becoming a consultant. But where do you start? How do I do this thing? But you've got the answer for that as well, don't you? With this white label.
Well, yeah, because we have the content. Mm. Like I'm not going to train someone how to be a consultant, especially elite office managers. They're already there, but it will take them years to develop the content. So yes, that's we offer that.
And same website to go to for that information as well?
Same exact place. I will send you a landing page for that.
Great. Okay, so all of those details are going to be in the show notes, and that landing page for potential consultants will be in the and possibly consultants that are out there already. They've developed their business and their relationships, but they would like that content to be one of the many things that they offer when they go into a dental surgery. Absolutely go to the show notes and click on
the link. Thank you for saying that. One of our affiliates is a dentist, and she's now a consultant. And I said to her, well, Dr. Kern, why do you even want my program? She's written a book. She's been a dentist. She said, because I don't have what you have. Yeah. And that's that every detail, every protocol, line by line, because she was thinking in a different way. And plus, who's crazy enough to do that and spend years doing that? Me. Most people don't have the desire, but I have the desire to do that.
It does take years. It does take years. So it's just such a wonderful thing. So that's just tremendous. Well, thank you, Nancy. I hope you'll be open to coming back on for a future episode.
Back at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
And you know, you can, if you can find out what topics your listeners would like to hear about, we can consider that.
Wonderful. I'll reach out to the Facebook groups and see what people are interested in, that's for sure. Well, thank you so very much. And we won't speak to each other again probably before the end of the year. So have a wonderful festive Christmas season.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Thank you so much. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, then you should come along and join the club. The club is a whole library of lunch and learns, with new lunch and learns being produced all the time, that help your dental team gain greater success in your systems, in your team behaviors, in your patient management, in your patient engagement, in their treatment plans. They are usually around half an hour in length, and so team members can sit down and be paid for their lunch break, eat lunch while they're being inspired and delivered all of these insights and strategies that can be implemented so you all achieve greater levels of success. Also, Amina and I, my buddy from Dental Management Expertise, have a company, Dental Business Mastery, together. And our flagship online one-year course for dental practice managers and dental practice owners to learn how to very successfully manage your dental practice is available. Head over to dentalbusinessmastery.com.au to find out more information, and has information about any other courses that we've got available. Also, make sure you do jump onto my website, julieparkerpracticesuccess.com.au, and you will see a whole load of free information. There are articles, the blog, downloads, templates, a whole load of things that are designed to help you overcome any specific challenge that you've got going on in your practice at the moment. If you have any suggestions of topics or guests that I can have on the podcast, please let me know. Thanks for listening.